Welcome to Quill Sword Blogcast. Suspicious protests. It would be nice if we could magically just know how sincere a person was when they say something. Of course, you'd find out that your mom really did have a favorite kid, and your boss isn't going to think about giving you a raise, so there are some downsides. But with this magic power, we could just tell how legit a given protest was. Well, my superpower ring still hasn't come in the mail, so I guess we'll just have to do this the hard way. First off, this isn't even a science, let alone an exact science. Best guess is the best we're going to manage. Even so, we can be pretty confident in some of our analysis. There will be true believers, trademarked, in almost every crowd. The question isn't are the protesters true believers, but are most of the protesters true believers? Just like we don't count the one true believer that as proof that the protest is legit, we don't count the one fake as proof that the protest isn't legitimate. What we're looking for is the majority. In statistical terms, the mode. Why are most of those people marching in protest? That is what determines the legitimacy of a protest. A legitimate protest should have a majority of people marching because they genuinely believe in the cause. A few hangers-on do not diminish the legitimacy. But if the majority are there for other reasons, the legitimacy does come into question. Other reasons include things like, all my friends are marching. Peer pressure can inflate protest numbers, but not votes in the ballot box. Boredom is, weirdly enough, another reason people who don't care about the cause will march. Wanting to feel like they're doing something important is yet another that gets them in the march, but may not change their voting behavior. Honestly, none of those are particularly significant. You can only pressure so many people into doing something that they aren't interested in. There will be a few in every crowd, but rarely more than a few. They are usually easy to identify. They show little enthusiasm and leave as soon as possible. Frankly, they can be ignored, as they don't tell us anything about the real legitimacy. Employees and students are a bit different. Employers and professors can bring a ton of pressure onto people. In some instances, they can be a significant number of people protesting simply to keep their jobs or get a good grade. In those cases, the protest legitimacy is brought into question, or may be totally undermined. These two are fairly easy to identify because that kind of coercion will result in at least one disgruntled person blowing the whistle. What about the big one, though? Paid protesters. How easy are they to identify? Not as easy, but there are some clues. First off, the problem is that a really well-organized protest may have some similar traits. The first thing I look for is professional signs and banners. A few don't tell me anything, but if I see a sea of obviously professionally done signage, I start to question the protest. Same thing with national flags. Are they all the same size? If so, that is much more likely to have been handed out to participants than to have been brought or bought individually. Look at any college game near a national holiday. You'll see thousands of American flags, but they will come in dozens of different sizes. Much more likely that those folks either brought that flag from home or bought one from a vendor. Vendors don't tend to have only one size unless they are usually selling something else. A flag vendor will have several sizes so as to maximize sales. But an organized or paid protest will have flags all the same size. Most of their signage will be of the same size too. Why? Printers generally charge less if you buy in bulk. It's more cost efficient to buy hundreds of flags the same size than a few dozen of each size. As a very general rule, organized protest will only hand out a few dozen flags or signs, and those two folks willing to seek out media to wave those things in front of them. Now, paid protests do that kind of thing too, But to guarantee coverage, they tend to hand out flags by the hundreds. Paid protests tend to have deep pocket backers. These can be corporations, but they are often nation states or major political organizations. They can usually afford more political bling. The exception is obvious: candidate rallies. At least in America, campaigns want a sea of red, white, and blue and a crowd for the media to see, and they are willing to pay for it by handing out flags like there's no tomorrow. So are campaign rallies not legitimate? Well, they're legit enough, but they're also highly orchestrated. It's rare for them to be huge, unless you're Donald Trump's campaign. But the people in the crowd are mostly true believers. It's not unusual for them to also be highly active in that candidate's campaign or party, so the only time to take notice is if they are really big, tens of thousands, or really small, under 100. Back to paid protests. What you're looking for is uniformity. Organic protests just don't have that polished professional look. Protests that look like political rallies are suspicious. If the protest is supposedly an immediate reaction to some event, but it looks like everyone has a professionally done sign and the same flag, it's almost certainly a paid protest. Most of the folks showing up are paid to be there. The more it looks like a marching band, the less organic it is. I can tell you from experience, marching bands don't look that good unless they work for it. If everyone is grabbing a poster board and running to the protest, those folks are there because they really believe in what they're doing. If they all have the same signs and only a few are getting their mugs in the cameras, they're there for an agenda and probably not their own. I wouldn't call telling these things apart an art. Frankly, unless you trace the money, you simply won't know for sure. Our lamestream media rarely bothers to follow the money unless they don't agree with the protesters. You can track down if the organizations are legit. If you can't find out who paid for all the pretty signs, that's not likely to be a legitimate organization or protest. All that said, it's worth the trouble to consider just how legitimate these things really are when you see people filling the streets. These days, there are so many that it's easy to just dismiss them as all as fake. But that's not fair to the legitimate protesters that are trying to make a point and not to just manipulate you. So the big question, which ones do I think are fake? I've been deeply suspicious of the anti-Ukraine protests, specifically in Europe. They all had that professional look, but more importantly, they seem suspiciously timed to benefit Russia in most cases. Now, I'd be amazed if no anti-Ukraine protests occurred that were legitimate, but way too many looking way too good and timed perfectly for Russia's interests? Yeah, no, not buying it. The pro-Palestinian protests are more of a mixed bag, but I still find them suspicious on the whole. The ticked-off college kid versions seem most common, which makes the fact that they are all carrying the exact same Palestinian flags highly suspect. These kids can't all have rich parents. The London protest was odd in its size, but it didn't really look all that organic. I think that one may have been organized and grew organically, but not the make the sign and yell loudly crowd. I tend to be dubious of it, but only in part. For the majority of these things, they are obviously organized, and they appear to be preying on young and the clueless. Someone paid for all those Palestinian flags and Arafat houndstooth. College students are unlikely to know about the houndstooth. Someone is pushing some buttons. That much I'm sure of. So, if protests are paid, that means they aren't important, right? Yes and no. It means that the particular protest isn't legitimate. But unless it is tiny, these do happen. Not all of those people are paid to be there, and there are some true believers in the mix. Massive protests are used to clothe movements in legitimacy. Basically, it's, looky at all the people who support our cause. paid and orchestrated protests look like they have greater support than they really do. They are done to manipulate the electorate, the citizens whose opinions actually affect public policy. They are giant PR stunts. Ever buy something that looked great on the glossy, slick ads but turned out to be a waste of time and money? Same idea, only in politics instead of cheap Chinese goods. Worth about as much. So what can you do? Well, first off, don't get caught in the hype. Don't believe for a second that you can't get snookered because you're on the right side. Humans don't come in size perfect, and that includes you. Don't let others do your thinking for you, no matter how sure you are that they were right the last time. Each case to its own merit. That's fancy for decide each thing based on the evidence presented in that argument, not on lumping cases together or causes together in convenient dumpsters. That's how you get dumpster fires. Is war bad? Dang spiffy it is. But the Arab-Israeli peace process has killed, maimed, and harmed more people than all six of the danged wars. Until humanity is perfected sometime after the Second Coming, we're stuck with being imperfect beings in an imperfect world who just have to muddle along doing the best of what we can to make that imperfect world a little bit better than it was when we got here. I hate the trolley problem. Oh, I understand it's just a philosophic construct, kind of like a mental experiment, to examine ethics and morality in smaller, more approachable bits. The thing is annoying because people assume that it proves something it doesn't, morality as arbitrary. That, and it has a solution. Yes, really, half switch and derail the stupid trolley. It has to be moving fairly slow to be able to switch, so derailing probably won't kill anyone. The point here, we use military operations pretty much the same way. We try to avoid full-out war while doing enough damage to make the belligerents knock it off. Of course it doesn't always work. Imperfect people, remember? But the U.S. is pretty good at it, despite what the U.S. government is always bad crowd says. The death tolls in both the second Iraq and the only Afghan wars were minuscule compared to Vietnam or Korea. Nothing compares to the insanity that was World War II, which is why we want to avoid doing that again, thank you very much. Nor were those wars pointless. It irks me no end to hear veterans of those conflicts talking like they didn't accomplish anything. Not irritated with them, but with us. We massively messed up if they weren't told what they accomplished. And you're probably scratching your head wondering the same thing. That's a massive political failure. But only in the PR realm. Anyway, what good did they do? Stability. I know, it doesn't fit on an Excel sheet and accountants hate it, but the evidence for an unqualifiable reality, or quantifiable reality rather, are very strong. The Middle East as a whole is far and away more stable than it was even 20 years ago. Part of that is a generation that grew up questioning why they should fight their grandparents' wars. Part of it is that cultures change over time, like it or not. But the biggest part was that the Middle Eastern nations got a very nasty wake-up call. First, when the U.S. came down hard on the terrorists exporting Afghanistan, and second, when we didn't just pack up and go home when the going got tough. Those nation-states quickly realized that business as usual would get them destroyed. There never was that much unity in the Middle East, and the cracks were on display. Mess with the U.S., and you were likely on your own. That was an easy choice. Time to find other things to do. Now, a few paragraphs make things sound simpler than they really are. People only come in size messy, and they only create messy bodies politic as a result. But the point stands. Going in when and how we did has generated a massive dividend for both the Western world and the Middle East. Stability gives a nation-state so many more options that benefit its citizens than strife ever will. It's just unfortunate that sometimes we have to do the strife part to get to the stability part. Worse, there is no instruction manual. The Bible is an awesome guide, but it's not a textbook. Stupid trolley problem without knowing you have options. You are expected to figure it out when you don't have the advantage of hindsight. Just like the rest of humanity throughout history, technology doesn't solve the problem of being human. That one is left to us. There's no one right answer that will always be right. No matter how big or legitimate the protest, those people are just people and they have no guarantee that they're right either. Don't let them think for you. Don't assume large numbers mean legitimacy and righteousness. Those large numbers may just mean deep pockets. The other really important thing you can do is talk to real people. Not pixels that may or may not be real thoughts of real living human beings, but the old-fashioned face-to-face sit down and talk. It takes more than one good point to convince anyone. Worry less about winning the argument than about getting someone else to hear what you have to say. In exchange, listen to what they have to say. Heck, they might even have a better idea this time than you do. Or they may come around to your way of thinking. Those things take time, but the important part is the free exchange of ideas. Good, bad, and really silly. Talk to people. But, stop right there. If every conversation ends in a fight, you are the problem. Common denominator is you, right? But so what? It just means that you don't have good conversation skills. Those are easy to learn. Yes, really. I had fewer than 5 friends from 1st to 8th grades, and only 2 of those lasted 3 months. No clue how the heck to talk to people, and I had to start from scratch in 9th grade. I highly do not recommend trying this at home. But if that scared geeky kid could learn how to talk to people and make real lasting friendships, then you can learn how to talk to your uncle at Thanksgiving without starting World War III. It just takes practice. Plenty of folks on videos will be happy to give you pointers if you get stuck. Don't let protests think for you, and definitely don't let them speak for you. You have a God-given brain and a voice all your own. Use them.